This is Digital Story Podcast number 673, February 5th, 2019. Today's theme is Three Stories About the Dawn of a New Flickr Era. I'm Derek Story. Photographers with free Flickr accounts will be limited to 1,000 photos starting today. Pro users see their annual fee rise to $50. Given all the other options that we have in the marketplace, why should we even concern ourselves with this? I'll provide not one, but three answers to this and more in today's TDS Photography Podcast. Answering the question, why should we care? That's a dicey proposition for really any topic these days. I thought the way I would approach this, you know, we're talking about Flickr now, and yes, today is the beginning of the limit, the 1,000 photos limit to free accounts. So if you have a free Flickr account, what they'll start doing is eliminating photos, your oldest photos that go past 1,000, and they'll slowly whittle you down till you have 1,000 images left in your free account. Now, this is, of course, if you have more than 1,000 images in your free account. If you have less, then this is really a non-issue for you. And then for those of us who are pro Flickr users, we've been paying, I believe, $25 a year. And when I come up for renewal, which will be in August for me, it will be $50 if I pay it annually. And I think $6 a month if I go month by month, which equals, what, $72 a year. So obviously I will pay annually. You know, and it's one of those things going, well, do I need to pay for another thing? And in the case of Flickr, for me, the answer is definitely yes. I definitely want to keep my pro account. And I have some thoughts around why it's important, not just for me, but for our entire community. You know, those of you who listen to this podcast and who participate in sharing your images and all that good stuff. So that's what this show is about. The first story I want to tell you is from a member of our group, Charles Peterson. And Charles wrote me this letter just recently, and I was going, God, this is the thing that I was looking for. I knew I wanted to do a show on Flickr. I sort of had, you know, my other reasons lined up, but I was missing something that, you know, was just a little bit more personal, a little bit more relatable to folks that were listening to the show. And Charles gave me that perfect story. So I'm just going to read you what he wrote me right now, and I'll talk about it a little bit. But this first segment is called The Story of Charles Peterson and the U.S. Postage Stamp. So he recently sent this email to me. One of my photos was used as a reference for painting a USPS stamp celebrating the 150th anniversary of the completion of the Transcontinental Railroad. The photo is a replica of a Union Pacific Engine 119. It was taken on December 29, 2013 at the Golden Spike National Historical Site, Box Elder County, Utah. The engine is a copy of the locomotive that met the Central Pacific Railroad Juniper engine at Promontory Summit in 1869 during the Golden Spike ceremony commemorating the completion of the first Transcontinental Railroad. So this is a pretty big deal that we're coming up to this anniversary. The Transcontinental Railroad stamps will be issued as a set of three in a pane of 18, with May 10th first day ceremony in Promontory Summit, Utah. The railroad's last spike was driven on that date and at that location 150 years earlier in 1869. So there's going to be a couple different stamps featuring the Juniper and the number 119 locomotives. And the shot that Charles took is the basis for the drawing. So if you look at the photo and then you look at the drawing, and, you know, they're the same thing. And in fact, it's one of those things that if they hadn't asked for permission, you could kind of go, hey, wait a minute, that's my shot. You know, it's one of those. How did Chuck become involved in this? So here's how it happened. In February of 2017, he was contacted by a research company called PhotoAssist. that, among other things, they helped the USPS find reference materials for creating stamps. And they found his photo of the locomotive on Flickr. So here's the tie-in, right? They found it on Flickr. So last September, they told me they wanted to use my photo and send me a contract for $750. I have found Flickr to be a very important resource for sharing my photography. And then this is how he sets up his shots. And I think this is really important because it allows things to happen. So he uses the Creative Commons non-commercial, non-derivatives license, which is the one that I like too. His shots are in Creative Commons. They need permission if they're going to be used commercially, but no permission if it's a non-commercial endeavor, and no derivatives, which in this case, for instance, the drawing would have been a derivative of his shot. So with the no derivatives limiter, then, for instance, the folks at PhotoAssist, they see this and they know that they need to get permission in order to use it for the stamp. And I think the non-commercial would have taken care of that as well. Charles goes on to write, "Many of my pictures have been used by conservation organizations, government agencies, schools, etc. I post medium resolution files and allow them to be downloaded. I've been paid for a few things, but that was never my goal." And by the way, I have a link to Chuck's page in the show notes. I have a link. I'm talking about a lot of stuff today, and I have links to everything in the show notes, but I have a link to his page, and I really recommend that you go over there and visit it. His Flickr page is called Pete Char, PeteChar, and I have a link to it, and it's, you know, Charles Peterson, Pete Char. Probably can figure that one out. Anyway, he has a terrific Flickr page, and he and I have actually exchanged notes about Flickr before and some of the things that have happened to him as a result of being on Flickr. And this is one of the points that I want to make, why should we care about Flickr? Which is, among other things, it is a resource for photography. And yes, we have microstock agencies and we have all this sort of stuff going on, but in a lot of ways, Flickr is the coolest resource, because there are just so many images on there, such a variety of shots. You have a variety of licensing available via Flickr, all these variations of Creative Commons and so forth. People can go and look for shots, and they can find shots that they can use right now for their blog post. They can find shots that they can contact the photographer for and use commercially. They can find shots for really just about anything on Flickr. And the greater community knows that, and so they go there. And so one of the reasons why I think Flickr should be of interest to you is that it is a place where people go to find photographs. And you never know what's going to happen. Chuck, I'm sure, never guessed when he took this photo of the locomotive, the 119, that someday that image would essentially end up on a postage stamp, a U.S. postage stamp. I'm sure he never dreamed that, and yet it happened, and it happened because he made that image available on Flickr. People found it. They contacted him. They knew how to get a hold of him because, you know, Flickr has all the contact information as well, and things happened, and things do happen with Flickr all the time. So reason number one, if you want your stuff to be seen and have a chance for it to be found and possibly used for projects, Flickr is a great place to be. Okay, let's talk about reason number two. And this one, many of you are familiar with, the Digital Story Digital Photography public group that's on Flickr. So if you're seeking a community for your photography, so we're talking about kind of a broad thing where you want people to find your shots in the first one. The second one is that if you want to be part of a community where you share your photos and you look at photos from other people and there's a familiarity, right? You're all kind of tied together. In this case, you're tied together by the digital story, the podcast, the community, all that kind of stuff. Let me tell you a little bit about this public group that we have on Flickr. Now, obviously, I've talked about it before, but I'm going to give you an update right now because I think it's kind of interesting. So the current membership for the Digital Story, Digital Photography public group is at 3,286 photographers who have published 78,551 images. 78,000 images published by over 3,000 photographers on this public group. I was going to say this is a cool little community, but it's probably a cool medium community. Thousands of visitors scroll through these photos annually. And it's also the source for the TDS member photo of the day. And the TDS member photo of the day, that goes on Facebook, which exposes the photographer and his or her work to a different community, a different online community. That is also a really neat feature. I love running the member photo of the day, all based out of, every shot in the member photo of the day comes out of the Digital Photography public group on Flickr. Now, over the years that I've been running this group, I have curated 36 galleries of amazing images. And of course, we're going as strong today as ever. Now, I have a link to the page on Flickr that has all 36 galleries. So those 36 galleries are the TDS member photo of the day curated into a gallery. So you can go back through time and look at all the amazing photography created within our community here through these galleries. One link takes you to all 36 galleries. You can just go through the galleries. You can, there's a big photo and a couple of little thumbnails and all that sort of stuff, so you can get a feel. And if you want to just be inspired, if you just want to enjoy photography done by your peers, you've got to go to this gallery page. It's really cool. And by the way, that's another thing that Flickr does. It gives me, as curator, that ability to create these galleries, to pull these shots together, and then to share them, with the larger photography audience. So second point is on this. This is a place of sharing, exploring, and enjoying high-quality photography at more of a community level. Now, that community could be large or it could be very small, but it is a community nonetheless. And if you spend any time on, our public group, you start to see names over and over again, and you start to get to know their photography, and you start to feel like you get to know these people a little bit, and they can get to know you if you comment on their shot, and then, they may answer you, all that stuff that happens. So another aspect to Flickr that I think is important is the community, both large and small. Now, addressing this point that I made at the top of the show, why is this the dawn of a new Flickr era? is it just the pricing change? And it actually goes beyond that. And Thomas Hawk published a really interesting post back in November when Flickr kind of announced everything that they were going to do. And his post was titled, and of course I have a link to it in the show notes, "Why Limiting Free Users to 1,000 Photos on Flickr is a Smart Move." So he starts out the post talking about how much, he has liked Flickr over the years and how important it is to him. And then he kind of goes into the business case for, why this is a good move. And it's all really good and really well thought out. But then there was another angle, and that's the angle I'm going to cover right now. I'm just going to read straight from his article that I hadn't thought of that he did, and I think it's a really good point. Basically, what he's going to talk about is what happened after Yahoo just sort of opened it up, one free terabyte. When they opened that up to free users, it changed the character of Flickr a little bit. So anyway, he's going to talk about that right now, and I think this is really an interesting point. So here we go. Here's what he said. "One of the things I noticed after Flickr began offering 1 terabyte for free users was that many users simply began using Flickr as a backup site for all of their photos. So instead of sharing their best photos with a community, they simply dumped everything on their hard drive to Flickr and went away. These photos were then indexed for search and populated the service, littering it with low quality content, screen grabs, 1,000 bad photos of fireworks, 3,000 poorly composed photos in a row of somebody's sister's wedding, you know, that kind of stuff. And anyone who's been on Flickr knows exactly what he's talking about, right? All right, back to Thomas. By focusing Flickr's vision on photo sharing and community, rather than simply another online photo backup dump, makes the visual experience better for those of us who are actually there to share photos and to engage with each other. Also, if people are willing to pay for something, they tend to put more effort into it. So if you are paying for something and perceive its value, you'll care more, contribute more, and be part of something. These are the accounts that I value on Flickr the most. And I just think that's really a terrific point. And I think this is really why we're looking at the dawn of a new Flickr, or the rebirth of Flickr as it was originally conceived. Because what we're going to have on Flickr is fewer users. You know, I'm sure we're going to lose some free users, and possibly we'll lose some pro users who don't want to pay the extra $25 a year. But we're still going to have a whole lot of users on Flickr. And I think what will happen is that the quality of the content is going to begin to rise again, and that we are going to see better stuff. We're going to see more curated images on Flickr. We're going to see higher quality. We're going to see people caring more about the shots that they put here online. And I think that is a really cool thing. Under Smug Mug's guidance, Flickr is going to try to become business responsible. And, you know, run, Smug Mug isn't looking to make a bunch of money off of this, but, you know, they do want it to pay for itself. And then they have other, benefits that they receive from, you know, managing and having this community associated with Smug Mug. So they'll do just fine, even if it breaks even. A business responsible Flickr, a higher quality Flickr, and a Flickr that still has great legs for getting your images out into the world, where possibly someone will look at it and go, you know what, that is the perfect shot for this project. I'm going to contact that photographer and I'm going to see if I can make something happen. So that's why I believe that starting today, you know, with the changes coming in force, that this is the dawn of a new era for Flickr, and it's going to be a lot of fun to see what happens going forward. How Portfolio Box helped me connect with models. This is really an interesting story, and I wanted to tell it last week, but I already had the tip of the week already lined up, and I was still sort of in the middle of all this, so I decided to wait one more week before I shared the story. Talk about going beyond your expectations. We just talked about Flickr in the previous story, which is a great online community for, you know, all sorts of things. And then I've been talking about Portfolio Box as a place to curate your best images, you know, have your portfolio. Because at least my Flickr site, and I'm sure many of your Flickr sites, is kind of more this living being that things happen. Like, I put shots on Flickr that I'm going to embed on the digital story because it renders them so well, you know, stuff like that. You know, so there's a lot of practical sides. And because I was a heavy Flickr user, I never really curated a portfolio, which I should have done a long time ago. So when I got involved with Portfolio Box, I created a portfolio site. And my portfolio site, if you haven't been there, right now has 4 pages. It'll grow, but right now it has 4 pages. It has an About Me page, which just goes into everything that I'm doing, basically. And really, it's my credentials. And then I have 3 galleries. I have a Cuba gallery, I have Portraits of Women gallery, and I have a out and about kind of a street photography gallery. And there are shots that I like, and, you know, the Portfolio Box site is so clean and so beautiful and so professional looking. Here's how it helped me connect with models. I have some projects coming up where I needed some fresh faces. I needed some new models for them, some online training and stuff like that. And in the past, I had had sort of a hard time connecting with, you know, professional level models, you know, people that really took their job seriously. And I just sometimes, you know, people, we would have a conversation and they just wouldn't show and, you know, all this kind of stuff. This time what I did on the follow-up after first contact is that I would send them my Portfolio Box link. I did not have the site before. This is the first time I've had the site when I've been out, you know, recruiting new talent. So I send them that link. So it has the About Me page, and it has a couple of really nice galleries, and it just looks professional. The hit rate, the response rate from folks that I have connected with and shared my portfolio box site has gone up tenfold, and I am not exaggerating. It has gone up tenfold when I started using that About Me page and those galleries on Portfolio Box. It's been crazy. So the other day I was in a shoot and with a really good professional model. In fact, she's probably going to be the star of my Luminar with Libraries online training I'm going to be doing here real soon. And I asked her, I go, so how important was it that I sent you that link? Because I wanted to know. I wanted to know if this was just a coincidence or if this was, you know, if there was a connection. And she said, it is super important. She says, it's vital. She says, that link was vital because she says, I want to know that I'm working with someone who is legit and who will capture me in the best light. That site gave me confidence to go ahead and book an appointment with you because I felt like that I was dealing with a professional. And that's that thing, that professional portfolio box site shows that I'm a professional, and then people respond to me like I'm a professional. And I just can't tell you how excited I am about this. This is really cool. So what I've done on the digital story, as you know, which is the blog and where the podcast is and all that stuff, I've changed the nav bar a little bit, and now in the top nav bar, you notice there's an about button, something that I should have done long time ago, you know, about, who am I? And in fact, when I had my meetings in Las Vegas with the B&H guys, they're saying, you've got to get that page up, that about page up, you know, it's vital, you know, when they're, you know, helping me with my business. So that about page now is a link to my portfolio box site. And so now you can go to the digital store, you click on about, you see that really nice about me page, you see those curated galleries, and I feel like that tells a nice story about who I am, you know, those four pages. So now I have integrated it into the digital story. I just wanted to tell you about this because A, I'm so excited by the results, and B, I feel like such an idiot for not doing this a long time ago. I should have done this a long time ago. I can't believe how much easier it would have made my life. Okay. So anyway, that's the story I've been wanting to tell you. And I'll keep you posted on how it goes, but it's been going great. By the way, I want to let you know, we have a photo contest right now sponsored by Portfolio Box. It's up close. It's up close. Send your best close-up image to thenimblephotographer@gmail.com by February 12, 2019 with the subject line, up close. The winner of that, the person that we honor with the best photo, will get a pro account. And that's what I'm using right now. My URL is derekstoryphotography.com. Portfolio Box took care of that for me. I didn't have to do anything other than to let them know with my pro account that I wanted that URL. It was available. They set it up for me, took care of all the DNS, all that icky stuff behind the scenes. So the winner of Up Close will receive a one-year pro account. This is a big deal. All you got to do is send your close-up photo, your macro photo, to thenimblephotographer@gmail.com by February 12th. And to create your own portfolio box site, all you have to do is click on the tile that's on every page of the digital story or use the link in the show notes to get started. You can set up your free site. You can learn how this thing works. And then if you decide to upgrade, you'll save 20% off the $83 annual price. You'll save 20%. Or if you win the up close contest, then we'll just upgrade that free site to a pro site. And there's a tile on every page of the digital story. You just click on it, take you over to our landing page, and then you can go from there. And just a big thanks to them for helping me out professionally, you know, get my act together, and also for sponsoring this podcast. They're really great folks. Do you have a lens that you will never sell? So I found this really interesting article on F-Stoppers. I have the link to it, and it's basically titled that. And the author stated that he would never sell his Canon EF 135mm f2.0 telephoto. He's, I think, moving away from Canon into something else, but he is hanging on to that lens and I think a body, because that lens is the one lens he will never sell, as that lens is the lens that produces results that he just absolutely loves. And I was thinking, oh, you know, we've done the desert island lens before and all that kind of stuff, but we haven't talked about it for a while. And I go, okay, it's time to revisit. I mean, I've had some changes to my lens catalog. I'm sure you've had some changes to your lens catalog. So I started thinking, okay, what lens or lenses would, you know, qualify for the do not sell franchise tag for me? And after some pondering, I did come to the conclusion that I have two lenses that for sure, I mean, I don't want to part with any of them right now, to tell you the truth, but two lenses that I think would fall into the absolutely do not sell category. The first one is my Panasonic 20mm f1.7, so it's micro four thirds lens. It's a 20mm f1.7, which works out to be a 40mm f1.7, and it's a pancake lens. And I put it on my Pen F, and I just leave it there, in all honesty. It is like on my Pen F all the time. Every now and then I do take it off and put on another lens, but basically that lens is on my Pen F. My Pen F is in my bag all the time. Enough said, okay? So that 20mm f1.7, that's one of my I will never sell lenses. And then the other one is also a micro four thirds lens, and it's on my Olympus EM1 Mark II, and is the Pro 45mm f1.2. The Pro 45mm f1.2. Now, I love all three Pro lenses. I have the 17, the 25, and the 45. They're amazing. And I use them constantly. But if I had to pick just one of that trio, the 45 f1.2 is just so good. It's just so good. I'm looking, you know, I was talking about the model thing earlier. Well, I'm, you know, these models that I'm photographing, I'm using the EM1 Mark II, and I'm either using the 25mm f1.2 or the 45mm f1.2 on almost all the shots. And I just look at these images in Capture One Pro, these raw files in Capture One Pro with these lenses, and I'm just going, oh, I love being a photographer. So, do you have a lens that you would never sell? If so, and you want to talk about it, share it in the comments area of the Facebook post that I do every week about the podcast. And I have a link, obviously, to that area. I have a link to, again, everything I talk about, I have links to. But yeah, let us know in the Facebook post. You know, it'll be about the podcast. It'll be about Flickr, all that sort of stuff. But every one of us who listen to the show knows that, you know, we're waiting to hear what your do not sell lens is. And I'm just going to be very curious to hear what you guys and gals just absolutely would not consider selling. I want to give a shout out to our Inner Circle members. And we got a photo challenge going on right now called Raw Capture. I'm really jazzed about it. Images right out of the camera. That is our photo contest. Images right out of the camera. Isn't that cool? I just love it. And I've been sharing them on our Patreon site, and they're really nice. They're really nice. And, you know, it kind of reaffirms my faith in the art of photography, you know, because this is photography, like film photography, is right out of the camera without any post-production at all. And these shots are great. One of those folks is going to win that challenge, and of course, they will get a Nimble Photographer t-shirt and all the fame and glory that I can muster up on our Inner Circle site for them. If you want to become part of, you know, not only supporting this show, but also part of the Inner Circle, another elite community that we have, I know we just picked up a few new members this week, then just click on the tile that's on all the pages of the Digital Story, the Patreon tile. That'll take you over to our page, and you can, you know, sign up there. You can kind of see what's going on. But it's a great place to hang out. I love that crew that's over there. And of course, they're the ones that are really helping support the show. But they're also really good photographers, and they're just a nice community. And I guess that's sort of the theme of today, which is, you know, all these different photography communities that we can become a part of. So a big shout out to all of our Inner Circle members. Thanks so much for participating on the Patreon site for supporting the show and just being great photographers. Also want to mention that we have both B&H and Amazon Tiles on the digital story. They're running down the second column there. If you're going to make a purchase, a photography purchase, especially if I've talked about it on the podcast, if you'd go over to the site first, just go over to the digital story first, click on the Amazon tile or the B&H tile first, and then make your purchase. That sets up an affiliate situation for me, and it doesn't cost you a penny more, but it does help support the show. It's a real easy way to contribute to this podcast. Just go to digitalstory.com, then click on B&H, or then click on Amazon. Make your purchase and know that not only are you getting some great new camera gear, you're also helping to support the podcast that you listen to every week. And finally, just a big thanks to our friends at Red River Paper. I have really enjoyed printing lately. I just ran a printing piece on the Digital Story on Sunday. And of course, I was using all Red River Paper for that testing and, you know, trying to, you know, figure out new things, printing fine art cards and so forth. They have everything there that you need. They have great paper, they have tutorials, they have ink, they have envelopes, they have reviews. So if you want to fire up your printing and start making art, art that you can hand to other people and have them go, wow, you are a real artist, click on the tiles on all the pages of the Digital Story, go over to the Red River site, and start making something physical. You know, this online world is great, but make something physical too. And a big thanks to Red River Paper for supporting this podcast, our longest running sponsor. All right, that's going to do it for me this week. Really sort of excited about everything that's going on right now. And as you hopefully can tell listening to the show, I've got a really interesting interview coming up next week. I'm not going to tell you any more about it other than I think you'll find it fascinating. Come back and join me. Until then, have a great week. Bye-bye now.